invite you to turn with us once again, the Old Testament, under the book of Psalms, Psalm number 119. And we're going to begin reading this morning in verse number 121. Psalm 119, verse number 121. Begun several weeks ago, preaching through this psalm, and with the thought of letters for living. Each one of these sections begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we have come to the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that is the letter Ayin. Ayin. We're going to begin reading in verse number 121 this morning. And I want to preach to you on this thought, Onward, Christian Soldier. That's the title of a song that is within the old Redback hymnal. But it holds the theme for what the psalmist is speaking through these verses, but it also holds the theme for what I feel like God would have to share with our hearts on this day. So if you found your place there in the book of Psalms, number 119, let's stand this morning, honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm number 119, verse number 121. The Bible says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And you may be seated. We look around our world today and we see many places that are in warfare. We, our own country, is in a state of warfare over there in Afghanistan and in Iraq and many other places around the globe that where there is warfare. We need not forget the warfare that we go through on a daily battle as we ward off the devil and as we ward off the flesh and as we strive to engage with the world. My friend, if you're a born-again child of the Most High God, if you've been saved by the grace of the Lord God Almighty and accepted Jesus as your Savior, from that moment on, you got involved in a fight, whether you realize it or not. And so we need to realize that I believe the closer I get to Jesus, the closer I study His Word, the more I realize this warfare is evident. The devil, his desire is to steal and to kill and to destroy, and we need to be on our best behavior. We need to strive to be as prepared as we possibly can be to win the battle. Amen. As we look in this psalmist, as this psalter is giving forth great truth unto us, giving us some letters for living, I believe that once again this morning we have some scripture that's going to help us to draw strength from the Word of God and with the power of the Spirit of God to help us to fight for God. We find here the Bible is sharing with us here in Psalm 119, verse 121. I said I want to preach to you on this thought, Onward, Christian Soldier. First of all, if I believe we're going to be a good soldier in God's army, if we're going to be one that's going to be able to do what the Lord would have us to do as a church, as a family, as an individual, we need to realize that there is protection found through hope. Hey, I'm glad to know that my God is in control. Amen. And the psalmist sometimes, as we've read this psalter, he felt like he's all alone. He felt like there's nobody out there on his side. He felt like that he was just in the warfare all by his lonesome. But my friend, we realize that once we get in that state, we need to look up. Amen. Once we get in that place where we feel like nobody else cares, we need to look in the Word of God and realize that we have a Savior that's concerned with every single one of our needs, and He'll meet every one of our needs if we will look unto Him. Hey, the Bible shares with us here. Look what it says in verse 121. The psalmist says, I have done judgment and justice. He says, I have done. That means that I have committed. I have made. I have brought something about in my life. And he says there, I have done judgment and justice. Judgment describes that act of deciding a case. It describes that there has been a great cause made. It describes that there has been a great decision made. And the psalmist says, not only have I done judgment, but he also says, I have done justice. Justice describes what is right or what is just or what is normal. My friend, we need to realize that we as God's people, hey, if we've been saved by the grace of an almighty God, we have done what is right. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a great decision that needs to be made in each and every one of our lives. There's a great decision that needs to be made every moment that we live. And that the greatest decision we'll ever make, first and foremost, is to trust in Jesus. I'm not talking about just some little old prayer. I'm not talking about just signing a card. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm talking about making a decision to go with God. I'm talking about being sold out. I'm talking about being committed. I'm talking about being one that's decided. Hey, it don't matter what's going to come my way. It's going to be me and Jesus. If nobody else goes with us, I don't care, because the Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, I'm glad to know that I made a decision one day, and that through that decision, I have found protection. Hey, my protection's not found in nothing less than the hope that I have to say that this Bible that I hold in my hand is the infallible, inerrant Word of a holy God. I believe it's true from cover to cover. I believe it's without any type of error. I believe that what the Bible says is what it says. I believe that what God's plan is what is right. Hey, I believe the Bible says there that if we'll trust in Christ and Christ alone, hey, that we can be born again from above. And when we make that decision, my friend, that's the right decision. The psalmist says there, I have done judgment and justice. I believe that he's describing that he's done the best of his ability to do what's right. So my question to you this morning, child, and my question to you this morning, friend, is have you done what's right in the eyes of God? Not what's acceptable in the world. Hey, there's a lot of people that do things that are acceptable in the world. Hey, we've lived in a world where people are striving to be politically correct in everything they do. They don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to put anybody down. They don't want to separate themselves from any particular people group or peer group. But I'm here to tell you what, if you're walking with Jesus, you're going to be different. Amen. And if you're walking for Christ, you're not going to fit in. I was watching Fox News this morning. There's some church that's even taken the church, taken the cross out of the church, changed the name of the church completely. And the so-called pastor said that he did that so that they would fit in the ever-changing community in which that is around them. And I'm here to tell you what, my friend, if we're born again by the blood, if we've been saved by God's grace through faith, we're not going to fit in. We're going to be different. And even though the world might come at us and they might call us little backwards, they might come at us and say that you're an old-fashioned, old fogey, one of you holy rollers. Hey, I'll tell you what, we need to go with God. Amen. I'm here to tell you there's protection that is found through the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in verse number 121, He says, I have done judgment and justice. And then he says, leave me not to mine oppressors. To leave means to let remain or to depart from. Hey, he's pleading with God and he's saying, God, don't leave me. God, don't depart from me. Don't leave me in the hands of those that oppress me. And oppressors speak about those that put the pressure on. Now, I know all of y'all live an easy life, right? No pressures, no deadlines, no burdens that you bear. That's a make-believe world, right? Hey, we all have things that oppress us. And an oppressor is one that puts pressure upon, one that extorts, one that does violence unto somebody else, one that violates your person. And the Bible says here that God, this man is pleading out unto a holy God. And he's saying, God, don't leave me to mine oppressors. And I'm here to tell you what, there's protection found through the hope that you place in Jesus Christ. And my friend, I'm here today to do nothing other than to assure you that if you'll go with God, that He'll go with you. If you'll draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. My friend, you need to place your hope and your trust and your belief in Jesus, clinging unto Him evermore, every day. Every time that we feel like that we're in a valley, every time we feel like there's temptation, hey, we need to call upon Jesus and say, Lord, help me in this hour. The Bible says there in verse 122, He says, be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Now, I'll tell you what, God hates pride. God hates anybody that has anything to do with pride. My friend, I believe that pride is one of those things the Bible says over in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 of those things that God hates. My friend, God don't like a proud look. God don't like a proud person. God don't like somebody that's arrogant and full of themselves. And my friend, those that try to bring oppression most of the time fall in that category of the prideful. But the Bible says there that He says in 122, listen, hey, there's protection found through hope in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there, be surety for thy servant for good. Hey, I'll tell you what, if you're a servant of God, my friend, that's what we need to be. That servant speaks of a slave. And a slave is one that has been bought with a price. My friend, a slave is obedient under the hand of the master. A slave is one that idolizes that one that bought their redemption. My friend, if we've been saved by grace through faith, hey, if we recognize Jesus as being the Christ, the anointed one of God, that came and lived His life victoriously and gave His life vicariously, He gave it all up there upon Calvary freely, willfully, and upon that cross He bore our sin debt. Upon that cross He paid our redemption. Upon that cross we've been set free. My friend, we need to look unto Him. And the Bible says, there He says, be surety for thy servant for good. My friend, if we're a servant of God today, we got hope. Hey, and through that hope, hey, there is protection. And the Bible says there, be surety for thy servant. That surety means to take on a pledge. It means to give in a pledge. It means to make a promise unto you and I. And my friend, it mainly speaks of to make a promise to pay a debt for somebody. Hey, I'm thankful that Jesus paid my sin debt. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's no way that you and I can find enough gold. There's no way that you and I can find enough treasure. There's no way that you and I can do enough good deeds. Hey, there's a lot of people say, I'm just hoping that my good's going to outweigh the bad. Had a man tell me the other day, I said, do you know that if you was going to die today, that you'd go to heaven? He said, yeah, I believe I would. I said, why? He said, because I believe I've lived by the golden rule. Hey, I'll tell you what, we need to live by the golden rule, even though that particular statement's not anywhere found in Scripture. But I believe what he's saying is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And my friend, the only way that you can truly do that is to be birthed from above. Hey, the Bible says you must be born again. And my friend, if you've been born from above, if you've trusted in Jesus, the Bible says there, be surety for thy servant for good. Hey, I'll tell you what, Jesus has made a pledge unto you and I. Christ has made a promise unto you and I. And my friend, we need to cling to that promise, not doubting. Hey, there's a lot of people, they whine unto God, they doubt God. Oh, they say that they got great faith, and they say that they're this and they're that. But where they find themselves in a pickle, first thing they do is cower. First thing they do is bow down. My friend, we don't need to be in that crowd. Hey, we need to have confidence to know that Jesus is going to see us through. Hey, we need to have confidence to know that God is going to take care of His own. And my friend, there's protection found through hope. Hey, we in the army of God, we as Christian soldiers, just need to press on for Jesus. Amen. Hey, the Bible says there, not only in teaching us, it not only teaches us protection is found through hope, but I believe there's preparation found through humility. Hey, I'll tell you what, God will provide protection unto those that don't even know how to protect themselves. Amen? Hey, God will watch out just like a mother hen watches out over that brood of chicks by bringing them up underneath their wings. My friend, I'm here to tell you what, God's looking out for you when you're not looking out for yourself. Hey, I'm glad God's looked out for me, because there's been a lot of times through my ignorance and through my own self-will, hey, I've gotten myself in a jam, but I'm glad God was watching out for me. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's protection found through hope, but there is also preparation found through humility. How can you prepare yourself to be a good soldier? How can you prepare yourself to be a good servant? How can you prepare yourself to be a good Christian? Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse 123, the psalmist says, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness." And then he uses that word in verse 124 once again. He says, "Deal with thy servant." He used that word there in 122. He used it once again in 125. Hey, I'm here to tell you what, there's got to be humility in serving God. Hey, you're not going to get to heaven because you're full of yourself. You're not going to get to heaven because you feel like you've climbed a Christian ladder and you've ranked high on a top rung. I'm here to tell you what, the best way to get unto God is to humble yourself and to fall on your face and realize that you're nothing other than a sinner that was destined for a devil's hell. But by God's grace, you've been saved. By God's grace, you've been picked up. By God's grace, you've lifted out of the muck and the mire. Hey, God came along and He fought you. God came along and He sought you. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus bought you upon Calvary, and I'm thankful for what He's done for us. But my friend, the only way that we can achieve anything in the kingdom of God is when we humble ourselves. Amen, bro. I'm glad you got Daniel yesterday on them knees. Humbled himself. Now, I'll tell you what, you ain't going to get to God with a prideful look. You ain't going to get to God with a proud heart and a proud stance. And I'll tell you what, there's people, I believe, that cling to church pews and they fight that altar call. Hey, they do not want to come and humble themselves in an old-fashioned altar of repentance because there's too much pride within them. I'll tell you what, we need to be servants of God. Not only when we get saved, but I'm talking about whenever God nudges our heart to do something. Whenever God speaks to our heart during a worship service, whenever God speaks to our heart while we're riding down the road, when God speaks to our heart when we're in the factory or in the field, hey, we need to humble ourselves and be obedient unto the Most High God. Hey, there is preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation to be everything you can be in God's kingdom. Be everything you can be unto your family. Hey, daddies, God wants to prepare you to be the best husband and the best father that you can be. Ladies, God wants to prepare you to be the best wife and the best mother that you can be. Children, God wants to prepare you to be the best that you can be unto your family, unto your mama, unto your dad. Hey, Christian, God wants to prepare us to be the best servant of East Larka Baptist Church. Hey, if we're serving Jesus, amen, hey, there ain't no problem with serving in the local church family. My friend, God wants to prepare us. And the only way He can prepare us is when we humble ourselves. The Bible says, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation." That eye speaks of the physical eye, but it's basically speaking about our mental and spiritual faculties. My friend, God wants us to fail for thy salvation. To fail, it says to waste away, but it means also to be exalted. Hey, I'm thankful to say that we need to humble ourselves. Hey, we need to look at ourselves as nothing other than a little old clay pot that God desires to use. My friend, we need to look at ourselves as nothing special, but other than just someone who's been saved by the wonderful grace and the mercy of God, and that God would so choose to use us. It ought to just humble us to even think that He would even know our name, much less to know every hair that's on our head. My friend, we need to be humbled when we look at how good God has been unto us. Hey, the Bible says there, He says, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation." My friend, we need to look unto the deliverance of a holy God. We need to look unto the rescue in which God's brought unto our life and realize that it's not just deliverance, it's not just a rescue, it's not just salvation, but hey, praise His holy name, we've won the victory. Amen. Hey, we've conquered death. We've conquered the grave. We've conquered hell. If we've trusted and placed our hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ, my friend, there is preparation that's found through humility. He says, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness." My friend, we all long to know more about Jesus. Hey, that's what God wants us to do. Hey, you've got to humble yourself to set aside that golf club. Hey, to get in the Bible. Hey, you've got to humble yourself to set aside that deer stand and that bass boat in order to get in the Word of God. Hey, you've got to set aside work sometimes and say, "I'm going to humble myself and give of myself to get involved, first of all, in the Word of God." Hey, the Bible says there that his eyes fail for the word of thy righteousness. That word is the speech and the sayings and the utterance of the Holy God through the Torah, in which that the psalmist was able to read. But he describes that word of righteousness. That righteousness speaks of righteousness as vindicated. What is it saying, preacher? It's talking about a God that keeps covenant to you and to I through the redemption work of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God is a covenant keeping God. What does that mean, preacher? It means that He ain't gonna let you down whenever you trust in Him. He's not gonna forget about you when you place your confidence in Him. Hey, I'm glad that He keeps covenant and He makes a pact and a promise and a pledge that will hold out all throughout eternity when we trust in Jesus. My friend, there's a lot of people. You know what? There's a lot of people that never grow. There's a lot of people that sit on church pews for years and for years and for years, and they're still sucking on the milk that they sucked on when they got saved. Hey, I'll tell you what, it takes humility. It takes time. It takes obedience. It takes sacrifice. It takes the humility and the mentality of a servant and a worshiper of the Most High God to prepare yourself to have the kind of faith that God wants us to have. He don't want us to be weak-kneed. He don't want us to be shallow. He wants us to grow some deep roots that whenever the winds and the trials and the tribulations of life come by, hey, that we won't be blown over, amen, but that we'll stand the test of time, just as it's described in Psalm number 1. My friend, we need to look unto Jesus. Hey, there's preparation found through humility. He says there in verse 124, He says, "Deal with thy servant." That word "deal" means to attend to or to put in order. When's the last time you really said, "God, deal with me"? When's the last time you really said, "God, I'm not concerned about Sister so-and-so. I'm not concerned about Mr. so-and-so. I'm not concerned about them youth. I'm not concerned just about my youngins. Hey, God, I'm asking you to deal with me." Hey, there's preparation found through humility. God will prepare you to be everything that you need to be when you humble yourself and say, "God, deal with me. Deal with my heart today. Deal with my life today. Deal with my weaknesses. God, I've got this problem. I've got this addiction. Oh, God, I've got this that's troubling me and that's hindering me from being everything that I need to be for Jesus. Deal with me, God." You know what? There's a lot of people, they're scared to deal with God, because they know it's going to be a life change. They know there's going to have to be a change of mind, which results in a change of action. Hey, they don't want to deal with that. They'd rather just pacify themselves and move on. Say, "Later on, God, ain't got time for that now." Now, I'll tell you what, if you're going to be something for your family and something for your church and something that's going to stand the test of time, hey, you've got to prepare yourself. And that comes through humility. He says, "Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy." Hey, I'm glad that God's a merciful God, ain't you? Hey, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, because we deserve a devil's hell. Hey, we deserve to be separated from God for all eternity. Hey, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's with no exceptions, no exclusions. But my friend, I'm thankful for His mercy. And the psalmist is pleading unto God, and he's saying, "Deal with thy servant. Give unto me according to thy mercy. God, I'm looking for your loving kindness. God, I'm looking for your faithfulness. God, I'm looking for your goodness." My friend, that's how we need to plead unto God and beg for mercy. Hey, we don't need justice, amen. Hey, if we got justice, if God gave us what we truly deserve, we'd already be out of here. We'd already be completely. I'm thankful for mercy. Have you experienced it today?
The only way you can experience the mercy of God is to humble yourself and to lower yourself. The Bible says there in verse 124, He says, "And teach me thy statutes." Who come to the house of God today saying, "God, I know I'm ignorant in some areas in life. God, I know there's some things that I don't know." And you come to God's house this morning and you say, "God, teach me something. God, give me something today that's going to help me tomorrow. God, give me something today that's going to help me. I got something big going on this week. God, give me something today through the Sunday school lesson, through the teaching, through the singing. Instruct me. Help me to learn something from thy hand." Hey, the only way you can do that, the only way you can get prepared is to come into here with an humble spirit and an open heart. The Bible says there, He says, "Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy precepts. Teach me those things that are due and prescribed unto you that I need to give." He says, "Help me to learn." And He says there in verse 125, He once again says, "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." Hey, we need to want to learn. Amen. Hey, there's too many people and too many churches that think they know it all. Hey, there's too many people and too many churches that are in some stronghold, in some clique. Hey, they think it's going to be my way or no way because it's always been that way. And my family's always done this. And my family's always done that. And we've always called the shots. I'm not saying it's the way it is here, but hey, that's the way it is in a lot of churches. That's why so many churches got division. That's why so many churches got dissension. That's why so many churches can't get along. And they split and they break off and they run down the road and they pick up another church and they give it some fancy name like everything's hunky-dory, all right. Now, I'll tell you what, it ain't that way. My friend, we need to be humble before a holy God and say, "God, teach me. Give me understanding." That understanding describes to cause to understand, to give understanding to teach. He says that I may know thy testimonies. Hey, there's a lot of people know a lot of things. I'm thankful for everything I've been taught in life. Thankful for the education I've received. But I'll tell you what, the best education you'll ever get is education through experience. And my friend, the best way that you can experience anything is to humble yourself and say, "God, deal with me. God, help me this day. Teach me. Give me wisdom." He says that I may know thy testimonies, the witness of a holy God. That's what we need. We need for God to show up. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost of God to come by and to witness unto us and say, "This is I, the great I am." Just as He done unto Moses in that burning bush, we need God to come by. Just as He did unto Elijah on Mount Carmel, we need God to come by. Just as He done in that upper room in Acts chapter 2, my friend, we need God to come by and to reveal Himself unto us and to show up and show out. But my friend, the only way we can do that is say, "God, deal with me. God, get me aside. God, give me understanding. Teach me." So we see onward, Christian soldier. There's protection found through hope. There's preparation found through humility. But there's also preservation found through honor. My friend, we need not only humble ourselves before God, but we need to honor Him. Amen. There needs to be a reverence before a holy God. Why? Because He is holy. Hey, I believe that over yonder in Isaiah chapter 6, where all the seraphim and the cherubim are giving accolation unto a holy God, and they're addressing Him with heads bowed and with eyes closed, just as humble as they can, and saying, "Holy, holy, holy." My friend, that's how we need to come unto a holy God, with reverence and honor. Hey, there's preservation found through honor. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 126, He says, "It is time for thee, Lord." Let me ask you, is it time for God to do something wonderful in your life? Is it time for God to do something wonderful in our church? Is it time for God to do something great in our country? Is it time? My friend, the Bible describes that time and teaches us that it's an occurrence. It's an occasion. My friend, we need to have an occurrence and an occasion when God would come by and just to reveal Himself greatly. But my friend, the only way we can do that is whenever we humble ourselves, whenever we honor Him. The Bible says there in verse number 126, He said, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work." My friend, we need to plead for God to work in the heart of lost individuals. We need to plead that God would do a great work of conviction in the life of sinners separated from a holy God because of sin and nothing else. There are a lot of people say, oh, you know what, Charles so-and-so, he's got a drinking problem. Oh, Charles so-and-so, she's got an addiction. You know what, Charles so-and-so, you know why their kids are running wild? It's because of this, because of that. And I'll tell you what, it's because of sin and because that they've not been taught that sin separates them from a holy God. My friend, there needs to be people that cry out unto God and say, God, do a work. Do an act. Hey, that work needs to act with effect to bring about. My friend, we need to cry that God will bring about revival. Amen? Need to cry unto God and say, God, stir up my heart. Don't deal with so-and-so. Deal with me today. The Bible says there, he says, for the time, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. I'll tell you what, we live in a country nowadays that has made void the law of a holy God. I heard on the news also this morning, there's been a great plea in the state of Louisiana that God would show up. That there'd be great revival there amongst the people in Louisiana. If you've ever been to New Orleans, you know they need revival. I'll tell you what, we our whole country needs revival. Even in the Bible Belt in which we dwell, we need revival. And we need to cry out to God and say, God, work in our hearts. The Bible says, there is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. The direction and the instruction of a holy God, that which is given down through Moses, and that which is given down through the prophets, that which is given and recorded in the Gospels and the Epistles. My friend, hey, they've made void. They've tried to make it frustrating. They've tried to make it ineffectual. Now, that's exactly what they've done by taking the Word of God out of places. The Bible says in 127, it says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. Hey, has God ever dealt with you to where you love this book more than you do your job? Has God ever dealt with you to whether you love this book more than you love making money? Has God ever dealt with you to whether you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness more than you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of this world? When has God done a work in you? And when have you been obedient unto God? Say, God, I love it much more than gold, much more than the precious metal that we have before us. But he goes on and he says there in verse 127, he says, therefore I love thy commandments, thy statutes, thy precepts, thy ordinances above gold, yea, above fine gold. Hey, that's not just the raw metal ore, but it's saying after it's been went through the process of fire, after it's been tempered, after it's had all the slag and the dross removed, and it's as pure can be. He says, I love thy word more than that. I'll tell you what, that's what we need to do with Jesus. That's why our state of the economy is in the state it's in, because people have just sacrificed everything, including their God and their salvation, for the love of money, for the love of pleasure, and the love of things. Now, friend, I'm not harping. Hey, we all got to live. Amen. We've all got to work. We've all got to do these things. But my friend, I'm telling you, we need to love God. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong. Hey, God, if you'll say, God, I love your word, I'm going to read it every morning, and God gives you truth there, hey, He'll give you opportunity to share it somewhere along the day, even on the workplace, if you'll be willing, you'll be open, you'll be obedient. Hey, I'm here to tell you what, we need to love the word of God more than we do gold. More than we do, yea, fine, above fine gold. Then he says there in verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. He says, I esteem all thy precepts, all thy statutes. And he says there, concerning all things to be right. To be right means to make right, to make smooth, to make straight. I'll tell you what, you know what will help you to straighten your mess out? It's the Word of God. You know what will help you to straighten your life out? It's the Word of God. You want to help you to keep your family's life straight? It's the Word of God. Being under the subjection and under the hearing and the heralding of the gospel message. My friend, it's the truth. The Bible says there, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And then he says, I hate every false way. My friend, if there's anything we need to hate, it ought to be anything that leads people away from Jesus. Now, I know we ought not to be haters. We ought to be lovers of others. We ought to have a loving heart and a kind heart. But my friend, anything that God hates, we ought to hate. And my friend, the Bible says we ought to hate every false way. I'm here to tell you what, that false way is a way of deception and disappointment. It's a way of living and a path of life that leads to eternal misery in a place called hell. I'm just telling you straight. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, have you been down that path?
Have you walked with Jesus? Maybe somebody here today that's saved, but yet you're not everything that God would have you to be in the kingdom of God because you've not humbled yourself, because you've lost hope. You've not humbled yourself, and you've not honored Him. I'll tell you what, God will help you if you will. I want to read this right here to you. I read it there yesterday, and it really blessed my heart. But over in the Redback Hymnal, song number 372, I believe the author of this song had a lot of truth. He says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see His banner go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Have you picked up His cross lately and allowed the cross of Jesus to lead your way? God's desiring that we do that. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.